You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. From rejoicing to fear and apprehension. That's how life has changed for young immigrants in the 5 years since President Obama signed the executive order called DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. DACA offered protected status to those undocumented immigrants who were brought here by their parents before they turned 16. President Trump called DACA illegal during the campaign. Since taking office, he has changed his tone somewhat, saying the so-called Dreamers will not be targeted in his administration's crackdown on undocumented immigrants. Or will they? Many Dreamers are still on edge, fearing they will be deported. Javier is one of those Dreamers. He's a computer science student at the University of Michigan. And his younger brother, Juan, is here. He is a U.S. citizen. Their parents are undocumented. For the family's safety, we are only using their first names. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
I'm going to start, Javier, by having you just tell us where you're from and when you came to the U.S., how old you were.
Yes, so I am from Mexico, Zacatecas, Mexico. And I came to the U.S. when I was just 4 years old. And I've resided in Ann Arbor ever since.
So Ann Arbor is home.
Yes.
And Juan, you are a citizen. You were born here in the U.S.
Yeah.
So, Javier, when did you first apply for DACA?
So I applied for DACA the very same day I was able to. My parents were very excited when it first was announced by Obama. I remember my father called me, and he was very excited about the possibility of us being able to not only work legally in the U.S., but also have a driver's license and just kind of be worry-free, not worry-free, but have less of a worry about deportation. And it was, I remember, I think it was August of that summer that you could apply, and that's, we started applying right away.
Did you have to present yourself to an office, or were you able to do it online?
We hired an attorney, but we just sent the application. We didn't have to, like, present ourselves anywhere. We just send it in. You mail the application in.
So what is your understanding of DACA and how it works and what it offers you?
So there's a misconception that DACA is a pathway to citizenship. It isn't, or a residency at all even. It essentially just provides you with a Social Security number. It gives you work authorization in the U.S. and relieves you from being a priority of deportation. So for me, that's exactly what I got. I'm now working at Plum Market with my work authorization. That's how I'm legally able to work in the U.S. And for me, it's currently just like a little barrier. I see it as a barrier, or as a little shield, I should say. That's my understanding of DACA. I feel like people take it as so much more than what it is, especially those that don't understand it. Think like, oh, it's like a free pass for this and that. It's really, we're kind of stuck in the middle.
Yes. And here we have Juan. You're a citizen. You have your parents undocumented, and your older brothers are registered under DACA. How do you feel about this whole situation?
I'm personally not that aware of how this works, but I always know that my brothers were really happy when it first was announced, and I was glad that they would be able to feel safe, actually, for like once in a while, feel safe that they wouldn't have be the first to be targeted for deportation.
That word just looming over your life, and I'm kind of interested, especially since you came here as a very small child, Javier, you were only four. Do you remember the first time that your family or parents kind of broached the topic with you? I mean, how did your parents explain to you that they didn't have legal status?
I feel like I was always kind of aware of the situation. It was whether it was be sure to check, like whenever, like if anyone knocks at the door, like be very cognizant of, like, or check who it is and be very aware and like don't tell people like where we're from and like kind of keep things secret. But I never paid attention. I was always very vocal about it. So while my parents are always telling me to be very, like, you know, cautious and like for obviously for their safety.
What were you told by your parents about why they remained in the U.S. and chose to stay?
Essentially, it was all for us, to be honest, my brother and I. My father came first when we were first born just because we lived in Zacatecas and there isn't a whole lot of agriculture and the jobs weren't too great. And that's just kind of how things were done back in the day. They just, el norte, that's where you went to find jobs, to find work, to sustain your family. And eventually we couldn't bear with being a part of the whole family. My mom and us being in Mexico, my father being in the U.S. So we decided, my mom decided we were all going to come to be together. And then they saw a better future for us here, my brother and I. And it kills me how they're labeled as criminals for just wanting to get us ahead. And I see how hard they work, and I'm glad they did it, and I understand why they did it. I wouldn't be a computer science student at U of M had they not taken the risk.
How have things changed for your family in your home since Donald Trump became president?
It's been a lot of anxiety, a lot of very paranoid. My mom has been very worried. She's just heard about all the raids at the different workplaces. And even on Facebook, sometimes people are posting, like, be careful in this street. There's, like, ICE sightings. And sometimes I show her and she gets very, very scared, you know. They're like, wow, they're really close. Or, like, we almost feel like they're, like, caging us. Our backs are against the wall. But so far we haven't encountered anything. We've been lucky. But, yeah, you can definitely feel the tension. You can feel the stress. You can feel we're scared. I thankfully have this shield of DACA, but my parents, you know, anything could happen.
And then here you are. You're a citizen, Juan, so you've got this kind of a – you're kind of in a really interesting place, shall we say. What are your thoughts?
Well, like my brother said, my parents are always like, during the night, make sure you lock the door. Don't open it if anyone knocks. But it's kind of in the situation where if anything does happen, it's deciding on whether I should stay – reside with another with a friend's family or any other close relatives I have, or if I should just go back to Mexico along with my family.
Have you been to Mexico?
No, I haven't
Never.
Been to Mexico. Never.
And how about you? Have you been back?
Ever since, no.
No.
Since
you were four.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm foreign to my own country. It's kind of sad. But, I mean, I've kept my roots. My parents have instilled that in me. My language, they always spoke it in the home, and everything. I love my culture, but it's still like I don't know my country.
Javier, what steps could you take or have you taken to get legal status? Is there anything open for you?
As far as I know, honestly, unless I marry a U.S. citizen, I don't know what would be another option for me. I don't know how I could potentially even become a citizen in this country. There is, as far as I know, there isn't. I could probably go back to Mexico and apply for some sort of visa to come here and then work towards it. I personally, honestly, don't know the legal background to that.
Well, you have been very visible. We know you've been an activist on behalf of other Dreamers. You were very instrumental in the successful legal battle to get a driver's license for Dreamers in Michigan and in getting the University of Michigan to offer in-state tuition to Dreamers. What are the hardest challenges for you right now as you kind of think about where you are at this point?
Just looking forward, I guess, just how much Trump keeps changing his mind about things. And like you said, during the campaign, like, he believed that DACA was a no-go, that it's illegal, that Obama overreached his power. And now he's like, oh, these kids have potential. They, like, we need them in the country and, like, we can work towards something. So I just don't know with him. And the biggest concern I have is here I am working towards my computer science degree, right? I've been struggling a lot in engineering school. It's hard. It's rough, you know? And working towards it. But if I am to receive my degree and DACA gets taken away, how am I going to lawfully work with it? How am I going to get a job? And a lot of companies, like even the career fair, like you can go around and see like, oh, we are not sponsoring anyone. Like, don't come to here if you need like a visa or sponsorship or anything like that. So it's kind of scary. Like, here I am putting all this work in and then I won't be able to use it at the end of the day if DACA is taken away.
If that happens and you're not allowed to stay in this country, do you have a plan B, Javier?
If I'm not allowed to stay in this country, I honestly maybe go back to Mexico. And I hear Canada is very welcoming. I don't know. A lot of people I know have been going to Canada. A family friend of my dad's went to Canada and received a residency. I think he's becoming a citizen soon. Right now, probably Mexico and then Canada, if I had to say. But I'm not 100% certain.
Juan, what do you think about Javier's plan B?
Yeah, I guess we're both – our whole family is kind of just wondering what will happen if it comes to that. There's still a lot of questioning. So I'm kind of worried because I know – that if anything happens, I'm most likely going to have to go with them. So it's kind of just like, what's going to happen?
Now, there are health issues that you've been dealing with, Juan, correct? Tell us what's been going on.
So about 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with osteosarcoma. So that put me in the hospital for around 10 months. So I had to have a lot of treatments. Obviously, a lot of money was involved. So there was a lot of fundraisers, actually, all throughout Ann Arbor. And we raised well over $30,000, so that kind of showed me that people are behind us.
And then for your parents, I've got to imagine, Javier, this adds a whole layer of concern about their situation.
It certainly does. One of their biggest concerns with the potential of deportation is Juan. They're more concerned about his health and his treatment being here than they are about them going back to Mexico. I almost feel that if they were both deported, they would just want Juan to remain in the U.S. with great family. We have great family friends that have helped us a lot. And just so he could get his treatment here and just so he could be close to the University of Michigan that's been handling his treatment. And they've been great with him. The bone cancer he had a removed knee, and he's been doing physical therapy here. He had the chemo treatment here. Everything is here for him. So they're more concerned with his health than anything. And that's just the scariest part for my mom, even being away from him. If anything were to happen to him again, if anything were to come back with him again, I can bear to see my mom worried about Juan and, like, not being able to do anything.
What about to people who say, like undocumented immigrants like your parents, you know, get in line, follow mm-hmm. the rules. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you hear that argument.
Often.
How do you answer that?
I just feel like, get in line. What line? There is no line. The immigration system is so broken. After working at an immigration law firm for 2 years, you saw how backed up some cases were. Some were expanded out to like 2020, and there aren't just enough immigration judges. The system is just so it isn't working. Nobody wants amnesty. I feel like I personally wouldn't want amnesty just because that wouldn't fix anything. I feel like there needs to be comprehensive immigration reform. There needs to be somewhere in the middle that works for both people trying to get in, that it's a better system. Just right now, we don't have that. It's too broken.
Juan is a U.S. citizen, and his older brother, Javier, is a dreamer who's a student at the University of Michigan. I want to thank both of you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Support for State of Opportunity comes from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, a partner with communities where children come first. I'm Cynthia Canty. Stay with us.